You need to.
I'll join you.
Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. We thank you, Father, for Bert. We ask, Lord God, that the words that you've placed on his heart, Lord God, would be sown in our hearts. Father, that we would bear fruit for your kingdom. We ask for a double portion of your blessing as he gives your word. In Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
How did you end up with my glasses?
You on mine too?
I did, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. Well.
What's one more place?
One more place. They're getting expensive. I really did leave them in the restaurant, huh? I like this pair. Over the years, I have spent a great deal of time describing the rituals that took place in the temple at the Yom Kippur, why it was the holiest day of the year. It was the day that the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies. I take a great deal of time explaining why Yeshua is the fulfillment of those images. And I would encourage you to get those messages from the storehouse, or you can contact me directly and I can give you written notes on the subject. My telephone number is in the bulletin. But this year, I am compelled to do something different. I am unable to leave the things that have been shown to me over the last few weeks. There are many more people here tonight, and some of us might be there for review to those who were here last Shabbat, but it is a message that I believe needs to be understood and heard and implemented in our lives. The last 4 years of my life has been a time of great illumination in many areas, specifically the scriptures. And there can be no greater joy for a pastor slash teacher than to have God shine light on his word, to know that he is preaching and hearing God. That is a joy that is without equal. Last Shabbat, in preparation for this day we have entered into now, I focused on one aspect of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or literally the Day of Covering, and that was the aspect of fasting. I tried to reveal the effects fasting has on our relationship and our ability to communicate with God. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, the scriptures say something relatively simple concerning the Day of Atonement. Tanu et nafshotachem. You will or you shall afflict your souls. It doesn't tell us how. It doesn't tell us what afflicts the soul. It is of note as well that this affliction is not put on us. This is not an external condition that is imposed upon us. It is something we are to do to ourselves, self-imposed. We are to afflict our souls. There are numerous other places in scriptures that tell us how one's soul is afflicted. And interestingly enough, much of that has to do with prayer, with receiving vision, and with hearing God. In Psalm chapter 35, verse 13, in context, when they were sick. My clothing was sackcloth and ashes. In other words, when the people around me were not doing well, the psalmist mourned. And then he says, Aniti batzon nafshi. I afflicted my soul with fasting. And every time the word fasting is mentioned with affliction, it has to do with the nefesh, this animal soul. The word for fasting is literally, the word tzom, literally means to cover the mouth, to hinder food from coming in, to cover it. I, numerous occasions, have shared this idea that man shares a nefesh with all who are in the animal kingdom. It is the soul that maintains the image of the beast. This is the image of the beast, right here. Every animal has a body, and it's the nefesh that maintains the life of that body, the physical creation. Man is distinguished from the rest of the animal kingdom, from all other creatures, in that we have a second soul, not just this nefesh that maintains a physical body. We have this breath of God that was breathed into us. We have a neshama, a breath of God. Fasting affects both those souls, not just the nefesh. When we afflict the nefesh, we are depriving it of what it has need of to maintain this physical life, and it becomes weak. If we do not give the body what it has need of, the life, nefesh, soul, is translated life many times in scriptures, the life becomes weak, the life force, the power. It's diminished. But as the nefesh is diminished, the neshama, that breath of God, becomes relatively strong in comparison and begins to exert a great deal more influence over the man. The voice of God and man are both amplified, and each can hear the other more clearly. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 4 on this is very, very clear on this matter. But of course, the process is not mechanical. Nothing is mechanical with God. These people worship me with traditions learned by rote, which means nothing to God, just traditions learned by repetition, words spoken but not understood, words spoken without feeling. When I was growing up, I was taught to pray. I did not pray the way I pray now. Right now, I speak with God. My prayers are a conversation. I open my heart to the Lord. And when I don't, he tears open my heart and shows me what's in it. It is a free-flowing conversation. When I was growing up, that is not the way I was taught to pray. I was taught to pray the Psalms. But I was taught to pray the Psalms in a certain way, not just to read them, but to read them as if I had written them. My soul pants like the deer. Mine. Hine el Yeshuati, behold, God is my salvation. I'm not reading the words of David. I'm speaking my words. I was told in that fashion, you will be praying from the depths of your soul, and you will open that soul to the Lord. So the process of fasting is much the same. It is not just a mechanical thing that we do. It's Yom Kippur, we fast. We must fast for the proper reasons. In verse 3 of chapter 58, Isaiah asked the question. We got into this in a great deal more depth on Shabbat, but I am compelled to share it again in a superficial fashion. The Lord asked a question through Isaiah. Why do you fast and you don't see? Why? Fasting should relate to better communication with God, as we shall see in just a moment. It's expressed clearly in Scripture. So why do you fast and you do not see? Because you fast for the wrong reasons. You fast for strife, for wickedness. In verse 4, he says, you do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. That's why we fast. I don't understand exactly why. My voice is typically, should be heard by God. He is everywhere. He hears everything. He sees everything. But the scriptures from God's mouth declare, you do not fast like you do today, or you have not, to make your voice heard on high, to amplify that voice, to make it heard more clearly. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9, he says, you will call on the Lord, and he will answer. You will cry, and he will say, Hineni. The Lord will say, Hineni. That struck me last week in ways that I am still shuddering from. God came to Abraham, and God spoke to Abraham. And Abraham answered, Hineni, here am I. And now we're given a set of conditions in Isaiah chapter 58 that if we enter into, we will call out to God, and we will hear God reply, Hineni, here am I. How many times have we sought this? That we would pray and God would hear our voice. Here we're told that God will not only hear, but he will speak the word, Hineni. I'm here. What's up? What can I do for you? What do you need? Let me show you what you need. Tell me what you want. Is one of the most profound statements that I've read in my life in Scripture. I will call and God will respond. Here am I. Fasting opens up the ears of both man and God. We are able to hear him more clearly, and he is able to hear us more clearly. I don't understand how the process works, but I do believe what the scriptures say. And it does work. As fasting opens up our ears in Isaiah, fasting opens up our eyes according to Ezra. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, he says this, then I proclaimed a fast, that we might afflict ourselves before the Lord, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all of our substance. When Ezra desired to receive a vision from God on the correct way, on the right path, Derech Hashem, the path of God, he began by fasting, by covering his mouth, by afflicting his soul, that he might see more clearly the path that God has laid out for him. That path has already been laid out. It was laid out for Ezra. It has been laid out for me. It has been laid out for you from the beginnings of the foundations of the earth. Before they were laid, God knew the path that we should walk. We just don't see it sometimes. So Ezra says, I will fast. I proclaim a fast to afflict my soul, that in God's light I might see light, that it would be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto this path, and I would be able to walk it. The affliction of the nefesh unblocks the neshama through which communication with God travels. We do not speak with God in our minds. We do not speak with God in our hearts. The point of contact between man and God, the place that heaven and earth touch, is our souls. The part of man that was created, Tzelem Elohim, in the image of God, the part of man that was breathed into him from the very mouth of God. And that is why we fast on this day. Because this was the day that the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. It was the only day he was allowed to. It was the only day that he wore the full regalia of the high priest, including the crown of pure gold upon which was written, Kadosh le'Adonai, holiness unto God. Mary and I were truly blessed this week as we watched this video on some excavations, and my mind immediately went to the scripture, if you do not open your mouth, the rocks will cry out. And the rocks are crying out in Israel. Amen. They're crying out. A man found out that the old city of David, where he worked, 30 feet below his office, might be King David's palace in the old city of David. Interesting. And that in this parking lot, a little ways down from his office, you know, they had, a lot of people did not believe the Qumran community existed. Scholars just refused to believe it till they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Then all of a sudden, can't deny reality. Well, you can if you're a politician, but others can't deny. Hezekiah's tunnel was denied until the rocks cried out and showed us Hezekiah's tunnel, and you can walk through it. And you leave the old city of David, you walk through this tunnel, it's fascinating. It's how Hezekiah designed to bring water in under a siege. And once again, we're finding out many of the things that the scriptures talked about were true. They actually found one of the golden bells that would be placed on the hem of the garment of the high priest that would jiggle around and make a sound while he was inside. Kadosh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And when the sound stopped, they would pull the rope and pull out the dead high priest and send in, you know, the second string high priest. All right, you're up. Hope you do. I hope you fare better. They found one of the gold. One woman was digging. She picked up a rock like that, found 250 gold coins struck with the image of Hadrian and Bar Kokhba. Some of them were restruck over with the image of Bar Kokhba from 135 CE. Unbelievable. Joni Mitchell would be so happy. They tore down a parking lot. Look what they found. Unfortunately, I don't know where the people who park there are now going to park. Jerusalem has parking at a premium. God's word is screaming at us daily. The truth of his word is being revealed to us daily. We can see these things happening. The evidence of the reality of Scripture, the truth of Scripture, is being shown to us every single day. These days, there's been much talk about blood moons and the signs of the times that are upon us. We've got blood moons coming up. Now, normally, I don't put much credibility in blood moons because I live out on the plains. We get half a dozen blood moons every year, where the moon comes up, and I mean it is huge, absolutely huge. There's sometimes when it first comes up, you don't even know what it is. because it looks so bizarre. And it is blood red. And I am not exaggerating. I am not speaking in hyperbole. There's a couple of folks here who live out on the plains, and they're just bobbing their heads up and down. You see this sliver of blood red illuminating, just barely coming up over the horizon. You go, you're looking at it. You just don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, you see this huge orb of red light. And it casts this rather peculiar, it's almost eerie, light upon everything. It's bright, but it's red. And it just doesn't look real. So I normally don't place too much value on, quote, blood moons. Of course, these days I do. Because the blood moons correspond with many other signs of the times that the scriptures speak about. And so, yes, I am also somewhat excited about what's about to happen. People think I make a joke when I say I pray for the Lord to return and figure he's going to return every day at 3 o'clock. It's not a joke. I figure I got two chances every day, one in the morning, one in the evening. But every day I pray for the return of the Lord, because it could be any day. The things that we are seeing happen, the words that are being proclaimed by leaders around the world, the condition of our society, all point to a very specific time, the time of the great shofar blast, the shofar hagadol, the time we will hear a blast that comes from no human mouth, from no earthly ram's horn, and will be taken away. It's a time I long for. It's a time my heart cries for. I certainly understand the excitement, and I certainly agree with that excitement. I am seeing things today that I have not seen in my 65 years. I hear things I just cannot believe. Many are declaring that we are in the times when old men shall dream dreams, when young men will receive visions. It is a miracle for old men to dream dreams, because old men don't sleep all that well. Anybody here old? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You're not an old man. But we're also told that the primary fulfillment of Joel 2, in which we're told that the old men will dream dreams, the young men receive visions. The primary fulfillment of Joel 2 was found in Acts chapter 2. 2,000 years ago. I believe that the time of revelation, although it is still here at the moment, is winding down. I believe that the time when the old men's dreams will fade, when the visions of the young men will fade, and I believe we are entering into a time not of revelation, but of olam, of hiding, when God hides himself. The time when God spoke, and I will hide my face. I am not a pessimist. I am an eschatologist. I am a student of God's word. And he tells us of these days. In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, this is perhaps more appropriate for the age we are in. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and from the north even to the east, and they will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they will not find it. Hence Isaiah said, "Seek me while I still might be found." The implication is clear and absolute. There will be a time when I will not be able to be found. It is why we see such strange goings on. The body okay with abortions, with gay marriages, with every abomination under the sun. We see our brothers and sisters being killed around the world for their faith, and nary a word is being lifted up. Where is outrage? Where is anger? Where is anything? Where is the protest? I don't understand the things we do protest, and I don't understand why we are not protesting other things. I've heard statements from the leader of some 700 million Catholics that I cannot believe I am listening to. I hear these things and I'm going, how can these words proceed from your mouth and not receive some level of rebuke from those who hold you accountable? How are these things possible? There's a famine coming on, not for food, although that is coming, and not for a thirst for water, but for hearing the word of God, and people are running everywhere. Do you have a word? Have you heard from God? Scripture gives us a remedy for this infirmity also, very clear. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 28, we are shown how to turn a famine around, the remedy for that ailment. If there is a famine in the land, whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man, each knowing his own affliction and his own pain, and spreading his hands towards this house, in other words, the temple, facing east, then there is a beseechment of God. Then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive. If there is a famine in the land, I don't care what the famine is, of food or of the word of God. If in your pain and affliction you will turn your eyes towards this temple, to the east, that's why we pray, to the east. Then Lord, please hear and forgive your people. I have noted much over the last 4 years. Time will humble all men and women. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your strength is in your youth. Time will humble you. Physical ailments and pain bring a person low. Young people here have no clue what I'm talking about, but if the Lord tarries, you will, and it's going to hit like a freight train. Strength and energy that lied in abundance on the surface when young must now be mined from great depths and with great energy and effort. As one lives long, one loses those whom he has loved, friends, family. This as well brings much pain, much affliction. Some of those die. Others just leave. They no longer will find you tolerable. This too is an affliction. And this too will amplify the word of the Lord. is fasting has the effect of filtering out the static that is produced by the world. It is not a distraction. It is a filter for clarification. The sound of many rushing waters has left, and the voice of those that those waters contained is now heard with a clarity that could never be imagined. This is the holiest day of the year. It is the holiest day of the year because it is the day that the Lord drew closest to man. He left heaven, he descended, and he was enthroned between the wings of the Cherubim, the two angels, upon the mercy seat. And God would appear in the cloud of incense, and he would meet with the high priest. And if things went well, the high priest would come out and pronounce the name of God, and forgiveness was found for Israel. It was the day that heaven and earth touched in Jerusalem on a holy mountain, in a holy of holies, a place like no other. This is the appointed time for God to hear our cries and to forgive. My concern is not being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, for my faith tells me I have already been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I proclaim Yeshua Hu Adon, Jesus, he is Lord. And so I believe my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
But I am a far piece from perfect. And so my cry goes out to God, forgive me. Slicha Adoni, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, my Lord. And I want that voice to be heard. And so I fast this day, and I afflict my soul, just like the scriptures told me, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if affliction and fasting made my voice louder to God, then affliction and fasting will make my voice louder to God tonight. Let God's people fast this day and afflict our souls, for there is much for us to speak to God about these days. Not just in our own personal lives, but for the condition of our country, the condition of Israel, the condition of the entire world, needs the cries of the Kodeshim, the holy ones, the saints of God. That's what the word saints means. Kodeshim, that's the way it is translated in the Tanakh, the holy ones. The poet calls us Adirai, the majestic ones. So last Saturday, I called for a fast to cover the mouth. Not only that food would not go in, but words would not come out. A fast both of food and of words. Not all words. But as Isaiah 58, the words that point the finger and accuse, the words that condemn, the words that tear down. May there be a fast of those. For the last week, I have been trying to speak in nothing but psalms and encouraging terms. Gird up your loins if you try this. All hell will break loose, literally. Frustration upon frustration. Disappointment upon disappointment will come your way, and you will find just how hard it is to bridle the tongue. And when you come to the place where you say, Lord, I cannot do this. The Lord says, good. This I knew before you declared it. Now rest in me. In your strength, you can't. With you, this is not possible. With me, all things are possible. Here, try this. He will instruct you in the ways of righteousness. Let us seek the Lord while he still might be found. I want to close tonight real quickly with something happened to me a few years ago. I had been cleaning up my room, which is a once every decade event. And as I sifted through the shovelfuls of stuff, I found a journal that I had kept during my times of war in Israel. And I wrote down some words during a private Yisker service that I had after finding that journal. I was alone with my own memories, and I remembered. And this came forth for this most holy day of Yom Kippur. I found the journal that I took with me when I left for Israel during the Lebanese conflict. I used it to write down my thoughts and feelings about the place I was headed. However, as I read through it, with the flood of emotions recorded during that time, it was something else in those writings that caught my eye. Much of what I wrote was about God and what he was doing in my life and in the world we live. Everywhere I looked, Adonai Shema, God is there. I have always believed that our primary point of contact with God is our soul, that divine breath that was first breathed into us as he pressed his lips against ours, animating this physical body with a holy kiss. The Ruach HaKodesh, the holy wind, refreshes and revives the breath that God breathed into us. It might be likened to being trapped in a sealed room, Cheder HaTum. Darkness causes the eye to grow dim. The air becomes heavy and stale, used up, filled with poison. Each breath comes not willingly, but with an exaggerated effort. Now imagine a small hole bored through one of the walls. That hole becomes the focus of our entire existence, the very source of our life. The freshness of the air that enters through the hole begins to revive us. There is anticipation for each coming breath, for the air is a sweet smell in our nostrils. And more than this shall overtake the one who is dying in that dark and dank prison. Light. Glorious light shall stream in, doing for the eye, as well deprived of that which gives it purpose, what the fresh wind did for the nostril. That small hole shall appear as the sun in its brightness to one surrounded by blackness. It will beckon us. Come near. Come close. The room explodes in images as the senses, atrophied by neglect, immediately begin to feast on that which stirs them and gives them purpose. Life has returned to one who was dying. This is the effect coming into contact with God has on the species he determined to create in his image. The psalmist put it with greater brevity and perhaps a more poetic stroke. As a deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O Lord. Water in the desert as well, a sweetness to the tongue. His holy wind will first refresh and renew a right spirit in us. But more than the soul of a man is affected as God draws nigh. His presence will create in us a clean heart as the proximity of his heart consumes with holy fire the desperate wickedness that resides in ours. And more than this is transfigured in the one privileged by a visit from the Holy One. His presence, first met with fear and trembling, will be transformed into joy and rejoicing in the new heart of the man who is called by the name of the Lord God of hosts. And that joy of his presence is our strength. An archaeologist will come to a small hill and see what others cannot. An ancient and beautiful temple where once song and worship were lifted up. With careful hand, he removes the rubble and debris that has accumulated over the centuries of neglect to reveal this holy place. God may be viewed in such a fashion. He has come upon one that he first created as a vessel of worship, but now lies abandoned, in disrepair, once alive, now thought dead. The vessel is buried under years of neglect. With loving strokes of brush and sometimes brutal blows of hammer and chisel, he removes from this vessel all that was not part of the original design to reveal the glory of this ancient place of worship. Of course, the mind of man is not insulated from the effects of God's presence. It too changes as it tries to understand and implement the experience of coming into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The pure, clean water of God's word will leach from the mind the accumulation of foul images, desires, and thoughts whose origins are in a lesser God. His word will focus the mind onto things divine rather than the things of man. That which a man formerly treasured, he now discards as worthless. That which he formerly considered worthless, he now gathers unto himself, counting them precious as the desires of his heart have been transformed. The metamorphosis has begun, and what will finally emerge from that cocoon will be glorious indeed. A creature of pure light, destined to be carried on a holy wind into the throne room of heaven. This is the effect Yom Kippur has on those called by his name. On this day, God's presence drew close in a most peculiar fashion. On this day, the high priest was allowed entrance into the Holy of Holies, where the king was enthroned. On this day was forgiveness found as the presence of God drew closer than on any other day. On this day, an entire nation was transfigured by the luminescent presence of God. Although access to God was and continues to be available every day, God has declared peculiar days, Mo'edim, days appointed as most holy, days separated out from the others to approach him for specific reasons, at specific times, and for specific anointings. A question often asked by man is, where is God? The answer is really quite simple and echoes down the ancient corridors of the soul's memory. He's right where you left him. God did not hide from the man. Man hid from God. And God did not stop wandering about, calling out, Adam, Ayaka, man, where are you? If we will take pause from the distractions of the day to be still and to listen, his voice can still be heard, sometimes faint, sometimes more robust, but always the same words. Ayaka, where are you? God calls each of us to come into his presence before the throne of grace and mercy, that we might receive the grace and mercy that we have need of. This is the essence of this day, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The invitation has been sent out. Respondez, s'il vous plaît. RSVP. It is not an invitation for a dinner. This one is an invitation for a fast. Partake deeply, that you might hear the word of God more clearly, that he might hear your words more clearly, that you might receive vision from on high. Perhaps this day we should not declare Shema Yisrael. Maybe this day we should declare Shema Neshama. Hear, O my soul, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Hear, my soul, hear, my Lord. I will leave you with this psalm, real short verse, Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath, let everything that has a neshama, it's the word, praise the Lord. Father, in Yeshua's name, in the midst of darkness, you have called us to be light. In the midst of despair, you have called us to praise. You have called us to be the testimony that you exist in this world. Father, on this day that you have called for us to fast, hear our cries, forgive us. We have sinned before you. We have fallen so far short of that glory that you have intended for us. And we beat our breast, even as the sinner in the temple. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. May we walk forth from this place justified. But Lord, even as Ezra, you have called for a fast, and as we enter it, may we receive a vision on the right path. A vision, Derech Hashem, the path of your name, the path that you have illuminated. May we see it clearly and give us the strength and the power to walk in it. In Yeshua's precious and holy name, amen. We will have a relatively short praise and worship service, and then we will be dismissed. However, you do not have to leave. The congregation will remain open all night, and you can be here in prayer all night if you so desire.